Reading to you from the third chapter of Revelation and the eighth verse. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. Energy Now, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and my stars, I've been trying to preach up a storm. Friends, listen, you know what? There's great preachers in this world, and boy, I used to have a great pastor before he went home to be with Jesus. So I know preachers do make an important contribution to our lives. Well, I feel this way. When God called me to preach, he knew what he was doing. Of course, I thought it was foolishness myself, but I'm glad he did call me. I really am, and I've enjoyed. Oh, we've had a lot of heartaches. Oh, we've had a lot of discouragements in the ministry, a lot of bad health. But you know what? He said, lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the age. Well, listen, if you got a troubled heart tonight, and you'd kind of like to know what God thinks about you, won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Peter, the third chapter, and let's begin reading with the 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, an account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the element will melt with intense heat? We've labeled this temporary trinkets of our times. And friends, let me tell you what. It's folly to invest all things here on earth. Oh, you know, people just keep buying property. You know, they used to be little wheat ranchers when I was a boy growing up, and then the big corporations bought them up and bought them up. So there's very few small wheat growers in Oregon, and fruit growers, and on and on and on. Everything tied to time is temporarily. And I read in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look at this, at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, friends, our Lord gave wise advice for investing. And I read here in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Well, Peter invested in Jesus' life. You remember, he heard the call of Jesus to follow him, and he obeyed, Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. You know, friends, when God calls you, it's immediate. The day he called me to preach, he didn't say, well, wait 3 or 4 or 5 years and go on. I remember hearing a testimony out of San Francisco, many, many years ago when I was getting ready to go to Bible college. And this man got up. He was a plumbing contractor. And he got up and he said, "I am probably one of the most miserable persons in this church." And I thought, well, what's he talking about? He said, "Many, many, many years ago, God extended to me a call to preach." Well, I can amen, and I know what he's talking about. But he said, "Lord, you know, I don't have a house paid for. I don't even have a house, period, that I'm renting. Now, if you let me build a house, and so I can go off to seminary, I'll do that." Well, he said, God let him work, and he built a nice, beautiful home for his wife and family. And then he said, "Lord, I tell you what, I need to put a few bucks in the bank, you know, just so for a rainy day while I'm going to school." And he said, and I did. And then I said, "Well, now, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to seminary." And he said, "I don't want you. I don't want you." You see, the difference was he wanted to do everything, get everything in the ducks in a row before he surrendered. Well, now, that's not what Peter did. The Bible said immediately he left their nets and followed him. Now, near the end of life, he had no regrets. He had proved the promises of Christ in verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He longs for others to do the same thing. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Well, Peter made a clear call for wise investing. And friends, I can amen that. I've told you many times when I was on that roof in Seattle, Washington, a year after I accepted Christ, I just had to know what God wanted for my life. Preaching was not in that. Believe me, it wasn't. I was a tither, and I gave money to the church, and I worked on the new church building, and I did everything I could humanly possible. But I came to a place where I had to say yea or nay. And like I say, preaching was not in that call, but he did call me to preach that day. And I pondered it, and I wondered about it. Surely God doesn't make mistakes, but this might be one that he made. I mean, that's the way, of course, the devil, you know, he's not going to encourage you. So, while I was talking about this to the Lord, my wife was in the basement over about 30 miles from where I was, and she was washing clothes, and said, "All of a sudden, I just felt like I should get on my knees and pray for you." And she prayed that whatever God wanted for my life, that would be done. And I jumped on her when she told me. I said, "You had no right telling the Lord that he could do with my life what he wanted to do." Wasn't that silly? Well, nonetheless, when I went to church Sunday morning, pastor preached a tremendous message, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Well, during the invitation, I went forward, slobbering like a calf, bawling like a baby. Well, it kind of confused the pastor because I had told him I accepted Jesus, and that was normally what some lost people do. You don't have to cry to be saved. I didn't say that, but I sure did. Anyway, I said, "You know, preacher," and I lied through my teeth. I really did. I said, "Preacher, I don't know what God wants for my life, but I'm here to ask you and the church to keep me in prayer because I wanted to know what I was supposed to do." But I lied. I knew what he told me to do. He called me to preach. Well, I surrendered to preach that night. And I, while it happened, the pastor asked for testimonies. A lot of churches, they'd never hear a testimony. Never hear a testimony. So how does lost people know what the Lord is doing for those of us who've trusted the Lord? Anyway, I jumped up and I said, "All I want to do is preach." I run out of that church, left my wife and family there. got in my car and took off and went home and jumped in bed and covered my head with a sheet. Now, that sounds silly and it sounds funny, but it really happened. And as soon as church was over, the deacons and my pastor was there. What's going on? And I told them that I told the Lord I would preach, even though I didn't know how in the world God could use a moron like me to talk about Jesus. Well, friends, that church started praying for me. And immediately, all the doors of my business shut. Couldn't get a roof job, couldn't do nothing. So one day, one of the deacons in my church said, you know, Cecil, my brother owns a huge roofing company over in San Francisco, American Roofing Company, and the seminary is just across the bay. Maybe you could cut a deal with him. So I get on the phone and I call him. And he said, oh, my stars, am I glad to hear from you. And I thought, well, what's so great about that? He said, we had a huge windstorm last night. Blew up hundreds and squares of shingles. I need all the shinglers I can get my hands on. So he said, can you bring a couple down? I said, well, I know one shingler I could bring down. So I went down and went to work in the roofing company. Well, I didn't understand how God opens doors. I really didn't understand it. But, you know, the deception of possessions lead us astray. And I read in verse 9:10, but the day of the Lord is come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work will be burned up. Well, the deceptions of possessions sent Lot to Sodom, you remember? And you know, he got, you know what happened to Lot? He got so, he went into the city of Sodom, him and his family, and he started living a sinful life with those people. Well, when the time come that God decided to, because of the terrible sin of homosexuality and other things in Sodom, he was going to destroy it, and he wanted Lot to get out of there. Well, finally Lot and them, they went out of there, and he said, don't look back. But Lot's wife just couldn't turn her back, and she turned back and looked. And the Bible said she's standing as a pillar of salt right there in, read the 13th chapter of Genesis. See, the deception of possessions cost the rich ruler his soul. And I read in Luke 18, he said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witnesses, honor your father and your mother. Now he said, I have kept all these things from my youth. Well, first of all, he lied, because no man can keep the Ten Commandments. And even if you could keep the Ten Commandments, it won't save you. The Ten Commandments shows you how helpless we are, that we need something more than a few words. We need Jesus. The blood of Jesus shed on Calvary is what it takes to wash away our sins. Nothing else. Water won't do it. Oh, a lot of denominations believe that water is important. Well, and baptism is important for an act of obedience, but not for salvation. You hear that? Not for salvation, but an act of obedience. It says, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism depicts a death, burial, resurrection. Now you say, well, Jesus, was he lost? No, he was the Son of God. Well, he got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Now, Jesus said to this young man, the one thing you lack, sell all your possessions and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But friends, he could not give up his possessions to follow Jesus. I want you to know, friends, the Bible said, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord. See, I've said this time and time again. God has not much patience with tight-fisted Christians. You see, some people God cannot trust with money. Did you know that? Now, I'm not saying if you're poor, God don't trust. I'm not saying that. But some people, God cannot trust because they would use that money for themselves. Well, then the deception of possession sent the rich fool to hell. And remember what it said in Luke 16? The land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. Then I will say to myself, I have laid up for myself goods that will take care of me for years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Period. Now, that would be all right, but let's go on a little further. But God said, you fool, this very night your soul shall be required of thee. Now, who will own what you have prepared? So is a man who lays up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. Oh, my stars. Listen, this guy, boy, he had a bumper crop. He had so much stuff. And his barns weren't big enough to hold all the stuff. So, well, I said, I guess I'll have to tear those little bitty barns down and build big, big barns. And then I'll sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, what a mistake. Oh, friends, listen to me. When God calls you a fool, you're in a whole heap of hurt. Absolutely. Now, Peter urges us to look ahead to the coming of the Lord. Looking upward reveals the temporary nature of things below. What will your possessions be worth when Christ returns? Now listen, wise ones invest in things above that stand the test of time. Well, listen to this. He said, the dissolving of possessions will occur, and I read in verse 10 and 11 again, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Well, consider this frightening scene. The heavens shall pass away with a great heat. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. Oh, this requires a decision. How then shall we live? Well, Peter calls us to consider all in the light of his prophecy. What manner of persons ought ye to be? It is a call to holy living, to be like Jesus. How has the prospect of what's ahead affected your life? Friends, you and I know that we're someday, each one of us who are born again, will stand before God and give an account for our life. And you know what? I've said this so many times. I said, you know, God doesn't care if you're great and famous. That's not his concern. He doesn't care if you've got the prettiest voice in the choir in your church or play the organ or the piano. But what he is going to ask us, what did you do with the lost people that I surrounded you with? What did you do? Did you witness? Did you testify? Did you encourage them to come to Jesus? Or did you just make a lot of money and laid up those treasures on earth? Oh, friends, don't lay those treasures up on earth. Now, that was the first thing after I got saved. Our pastor had what they call a new Christian orientation class. And I'm telling you, friends, everything was going good, and I liked what he was said until he came to tithing. I flipped my lid. Now, let me tell you what. Every Sunday when that offering plate was passed, I would put my little dollar in there just as proud as could be. I'm helping support the preacher. I'm helping send missionaries out. Oh, I'm doing a lot. But then I found out I was doing wrong. He wants 10% of all we had, at plus offerings. Well, it was hard for me to do, but I'll tell you right now, friends, let me tell you what. It's not the 90% that you keep back and you give your 10%, the 90% goes so much farther than if you kept the whole 100%. I'm telling you, you talk to anybody who's did tithing for years, and they'll tell you exactly the same thing. And when your needs, you have a need, he'll supply them. You say, ooh, then you can buy favor with God with tithing. Absolutely not. But he said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right. Now, I was pastoring a church in Anacortes, Washington, and we had a lady in there whose husband was a chief in the Navy, and he made pretty fair money. And she said, well, Cecil, you think I should tithe? I said, well, that's what the scriptures say. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Get this now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try it for a month and see if it works. Well, first of all, her attitude was wrong. She was trying to get something back. That's what these namer and claimers are, these guys that want you to send a $1,000 seed offering. They're making a buck on it. Ooh, yes, they are, and they're telling you lies. They're telling if you send a $1,000 seed offering that all your family's going to be saved, you're never going to have a financial problem, you're never going to have a health problem. They're lying out of their teeth. They're making a lot of money, but, oh, beloved, someday they're going to stand before Jesus, and you know what he's going to say to them? Be gone. You cursed workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Oh, he said, well, he's a preacher. He ought to know. Yeah. There's false prophets day on television and radio and pastorates too. It is a call to holy living to be like Jesus. How has the prospect of a head affected your life? Listen to me. The dividing of possessions earns judgment. Verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, an account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will be melt with intense heat. Now listen. What shall we do with our possessions in the light of Jesus' return? Gifts to the Lord and his work. Lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Examples of some of those who divide their possessions. R.A. Torrey about D.L. Moody. Money held no charms for him. John Wesley said, I fling money out of my hands, lest it finds a way into my heart. George Mueller from Germany. God judges what we give by what we keep. Boy, oh boy. There was a man of great faith. He never begged for money, ever did. See, I don't believe in begging for money. I just don't believe it. I think it cheapens the gospel. If every Christian would tithe, there would be enough money to take the gospel around the world 1,000 times. Missionaries wouldn't have to go out and beg for money. That, to me, is sinful, to have to go out and beg to preach. I work to preach, and I still do. And I'm an old man, 84 years old. No, God has supplied our needs. Has your life been centered on temporary trinkets? Are you ready to move to a Christ-centered living? Would you begin to live with eternity's value in view? Friends, listen. I hope that temporary trinkets are not of your time. Now you say, well, Cecil, let me tell you what. I'm not a Christian, but I believe there's a God. Well, the devils believe and tremble. Have you trusted Jesus? That's the important issue. The Father sent his Son to earth to die for sinners like you and me. That's what he sent him there for. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost today, he's looking for you. He's standing tonight with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you have labor and heavy laden. Oh, how he loves you, my friend. He loves me too. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you eternal life. Well, what do you want to do with it? You want to trust him tonight? Do you feel it tugging at your heart? Well, if you do, bow your head with me right now and pray this powerful but simple prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord God, I'm so sorry for my life, my wasted life. I don't deserve you. But Lord, right now, I'm opening my heart and accepting you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. I hope and pray that I encouraged you. I want people to know that God does not lie, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Oh, you need to put faith in Him, trust Him. Trust is a tremendous word. My. To trust someone, I might have you on the end of a rope swinging on a mountain. Now, if you don't trust me, you better not hang on that thing and come down that side of that mountain. But if you trust me, you can. You could trust Jesus with everything you have, especially your soul. You trust Him for eternal life, time without end. Anyway, dear friends, pray for my wife and I, and pray for our health. I've been having some real health problems the last few weeks, and you pray for me, will you? I want to keep going to prisons, and I want to, Lord willing, I want to come to the Dalles. Oh, I'd love to come out. You know, I haven't been home for so many, many years. And I love the Dalles. Oh, my. Well, listen, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. All this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.